Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7. There is an American poet who is likened, I guess, sort of to Robert Burns from an American viewpoint. His name is Robert Frost. And he has a poem that's very familiar to certainly Americans that is called The Road Not Taken. I'm going to read that for us because it bears upon the passage we're looking at this evening. It says, "Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth, then took the other, as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, and leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." The difference between what the poet says and what Jesus says in our passage is great, and I don't want to think about it too much in that poem, but the poem is about this man who had two paths in front of him. And the one was well-trodden. He had never been down that path, but it was a well-trodden path. And there was a second path that was not very well-trodden. And he decided to take that path. And he knew that he would probably never be back in that spot again. And so he wistfully looked down that one path and it was like, oh, it'd be nice to go down there. But he took the one less traveled. And he said that made all the difference in his life because it was so glorious. And in verses 13 and 14 of Matthew chapter 7, we find a similarity between two paths. The one that's well traveled and the one that is less traveled. Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now, before we get into those two verses, I just want to give us a bit of context to what's been happening in chapter 7 of Matthew. This is the last chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, the longest portion of any sermon that we have by the Lord. And he starts talking in chapter 7 about judgment. He speaks about judgment, how we are to judge. And it is one of the most quoted verses in the Bible by those who don't know the Bible, where it says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." And they don't follow on and read the rest. Because Jesus is basically saying, don't judge with unrighteous judgment, but you should judge. You should judge with righteous judgment. And you only do that by first judging yourself. That's what he means by take out the beam that is in your own eye before you go and you help your brother take out the speck that is in their eye. It's not about don't take the speck out of your brother's eye. Don't help your brother where they're going wrong. That's not what he's saying. He's saying help your brother, help your sister, help the one that is in error. But first, examine yourself to make sure that you're doing it for the right reasons. That you're doing it for their edification and for their return to Christ or their repentance to Christ. That's the purpose of any judgment that Jesus gives. He tells us in John chapter 3 that we don't need to condemn the world. Why? The world's already condemned. He came to save. And so people need to know they're condemned, but then they need to know that there is a Savior. There is one who forgives sin, who gives righteousness. And he says that to us here, when you judge, make sure that you first examine yourself so that you are in the right mind frame and that you've taken care of any sin in your life, and then go and help that individual who is struggling with something. And he says something that is so often taken out of context, because so often people don't understand the context. In verse 6, he says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." And people think, well, that's talking about the gospel, or that's talking about this. Well, the context of what Jesus is speaking about is judgment. He's talking about judgment. And the problem is that what people do, what Christians do, people that call themselves Christians do, is they go out and they see somebody sinning, and they cast stones at the person sinning. And they don't think about examining themselves. But then when they sin, what they have done is they have given over judgment to the world. You may have known people in your life, I certainly have, who presented themselves as upstanding Christians. That's how they were presented to the public. I've known ministers that were in that example, and they were fierce in their condemnation of sin. But then they fell into horrendous sin, and everybody knew it. Everybody found out about it. And not only was their name trampled down, the name of Christ was trampled down. Because suddenly, everybody around that knew nothing about the situation, that knows nothing about Christ, were pointing and saying, "Look at that guy. What was trampled under? Judgment was." The judgment that they should have been using upon themselves was thrown off to the dogs, thrown off to the swine, and it was trampled underfoot because everybody is pointing and saying, "Look at that one." My father-in-law is a perfect example of that. Back in the late 60s, he was building a house, and straight across the street was a Baptist church. And the minister of that Baptist church had a friend who was a builder. And so my father-in-law thinking, well, that's a Christian man. My father-in-law's not a Christian. He thought, well, that's a Christian. Who better to hire to help me out with my project of building my house? And so he spoke to the minister, and he spoke to the contractor, and he came over and did a work, and he did an awful job. I mean, just made a mess of it. But then he turned around and blamed it on my father-in-law instead of taking the responsibility himself. And my father-in-law took them to court to recover the money. And the pastor of that church got up on the witness stand and lied through his teeth. And to this day, my father-in-law, when I or Jennifer speak to him about the gospel, he will bring up what happened in the late 1960s and the pastor of that church. He gave judgment over to the world. And people use that as an excuse to say, "I'm not going to go to look to Christ. Because look what those people do." He cast his pearls before swine. He threw it to the dogs. That's exactly what took place. And so when Christ is speaking in chapter 7, he's speaking so much about our judgment. And our judgment has so much to do with our sanctification. It has so much to do with following after Jesus Christ. And so he says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." What is he talking about? He's talking about asking your heavenly Father for good things. Not good physical things. He's not saying, go ask for a better house. Go ask for more money in the bank. Go ask for these things. No, he's asking for Christ. Asking for good judgment. For wisdom and how to deal with people in making sure that we're honoring the name of Jesus Christ. And he says, "Ask for it, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you'll find it." Where would you seek it? In the Word of God. "Knock, and it will be opened." Open the book. Read. And if you don't understand, ask someone who does. Ask someone who does. Instead of sitting there not understanding, seek out someone who does understand. And that they can help you to understand what it says. And so then he comes to "Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." He's not introducing a completely new topic. You see, because what he's saying is you're going to have all sorts of struggles in your life, in sanctification, in following Jesus Christ. And there's going to be times where you are not going to be sure that you're a Christian because of the things you do. And in those moments, you need to remember who is the Savior. You need to remember who it is that saved you from sin. You don't need to be worrying about this and worrying about that. You need to be looking to Jesus Christ. He says, enter in at, ye in at the straight gate. Make sure you're on the narrow path. Because the other path is broad. It's wide and it leads to destruction. You know, it's a funny thing. We can think about it, and Jesus says there's two paths in life. Society tells us that there are many roads. There are many paths. It doesn't matter which one you take. There are many, even in so-called Christian churches, that will say it doesn't matter which path you're on. You can go on that group or you can go with this group. It doesn't make a difference. There was a barn back in Kentucky that had this this writing on it. And every time that I would come to the end of the road, I'd see that barn. It said, all paths to God are sacred. Choose one. It infuriated me every single time I saw that. Because there are not more paths to God but one. And that path is Jesus Christ. There is no other path. My flesh cried out. I wanted to burn the barn down because it was so annoying. It was so anti Jesus Christ. It was so anti what the Bible teaches, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. And thankfully, at some point, I didn't burn the barn down. But thankfully, at some point, somebody else bought the property and they painted over that, so you couldn't see it anymore. It was gone. And I was thankful for that. Because society will tell us there are many roads. And everybody is okay as long as they are sincere. It doesn't matter if you're Muslim. It doesn't matter if you're Hindu. It doesn't matter if you're this. It doesn't matter if you're a Jehovah's Witness or that or anyone else. As long as you're sincere, you'll be okay when you get to God. Jesus says that's a load of rubbish. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. At the narrow way, not the broad gate, not the broad way, because the broad way leads to destruction. You think about standing there at the crossroads, at that path where there's two paths in the wood and they diverged, and there's the one that everybody treads down. People are funny. They'll go where everybody goes. They'll see a crowd and they say, "Ooh, I'll stop there." If they see no one at a shop, if they see no one at a restaurant, you know what they won't do? They won't go in. They won't go in. They won't be the first ones to sit down. But as long as there's other people in there, they'll go ahead. They think, well, somebody likes it, so I'll probably like it too. They won't be the first. They won't be the one that will take the risk. They want to do what everyone else does. That's the broad road of destruction. That's following after any path. It doesn't matter which path it is. It doesn't make it any different. It's easy to enter. Why? Because you started on it. You were already on it when you were born. It doesn't take anything to get off of it. I mean, just to stay on it. It doesn't take any work. You're already there. There's no cost to enter it. It doesn't cost you anything. Nobody's going to mock you because you're on the broad road, because they're on the broad road. They're going down the path and they're just fine with it. You don't need to leave anyone behind because most of the people you know are on the same road. They're going down that same path. You don't have to go against the traffic or the direction of the stream. It's comfortable. It's why people do it. That's why people go to the restaurants that they're familiar with. That's why they do the things that they're used to. I enjoy watching a game show on TV called Tipping Point. And it's fascinating to watch this show because someone will put a counter in one of these zones. And they'll get a couple of coins out. And then the next person, even though there's now less coins in that zone, will go to the same one. And the same one. And the same one. Again and again and again. When there's all these chips over here. I'm thinking, because they think that's the safe route. They don't want to take the risk of not getting something. And so they're going to go where someone else got something. That's the broad road. You don't have to take the risk. It's smooth. It's straight. It's familiar. You have the freedom to choose which lane you want. As long as it's on the same road. There's lots of people around. You don't feel lonely. There's no restrictions on your behavior. I saw something from a so-called Christian group the other day that said the only path to joy and peace in your life is a moral life. I thought that is completely wrong. That's not freedom. That's what they were espousing, that once you have a moral life, you'll be free. That's not freedom. You're free in Christ. And guess what? You don't desire those things anymore. It's not about being moral. It's about being in Christ. And then morality follows. Unfortunately, that broad road has a destination. And that destination is destruction. It's an eternity in hell. It's being tormented. Knowing that the other path was there. It wasn't hidden from you. It wasn't obscured in some way. The gospel has been heard. You've heard it. You've been here more than once, each one. You've heard it multiple times. There will be no excuse. You'll not say, you know what, God, I didn't understand. I didn't know. Yes, you would. Yes, you do. It's a shame because those that are on the broad road will convince you to stay on the broad road. They'll try and keep you there because it's the fun path. It's the easy path. And they'll mock you about the narrow path and say, you know what, that's not real. And they'll start spouting things about evolution and other such nonsense to obscure the destination of the broad road. Because if they can get rid of the God of creation, well, then there's no God of judgment. Makes it easier. Jesus says there is a narrow way. He says you must be born again. Born again. Not going back as Nicodemus was thinking, somehow back to your mother's womb. No, being born again from the Spirit of God. That's the necessity. He says, enter in at the straight gate. It's a narrow way, and few find it. It's not crammed with people, because they don't want to hear what Jesus has to say. It's not a turnstile onto a broad path. You can't enter it with anybody else. You can't enter it with your family. No matter how much you want to take your family on that path, you cannot bring them along. You can tell them about the path. You can tell them about Jesus Christ. You can tell them about the narrow way. But you cannot force them onto the path. They have to find that path themselves in Jesus Christ. There are many that say they know the entrance to the road. But in reality, they're just telling you there's another lane of the broad way. They're saying, oh, if you do these good works, then you'll get into... It's Jesus plus this. It's Jesus plus Mary. It's Jesus plus angels. It's Jesus plus good works. It's Jesus plus attending church. It's Jesus plus whatever it is. If you have Jesus plus anything, you have nothing. Because you're saying Jesus is not sufficient. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh to the Father but by me. There was nothing added on. There was no other addition that he said. He didn't say you had to bring any money. He didn't say you had to bring your good works. He didn't say you had to bring anything. He said he was the way. People say that Jesus was a good teacher. He was a good prophet. Well, that's not quite true if what he says here isn't true. Because the things he says are so profound that they either have to be true or he was completely fake. Because he claimed to be God. That's either true or not. He claimed to be the way of salvation with no other way of salvation. That's either true or not. And if those things aren't true, he's not a good teacher. He's not someone to follow. There are people all over the place thinking, oh, well, I'm going to church to be a good person. What difference would it make if Jesus isn't who he said he is? He said the gate is straight. It's a tight squeeze. What does he mean? He means that you have to leave your old self behind. Your own efforts. Your own efforts to earn salvation, to gain it by doing A, B, or C, by attending church, by saying particular prayers, any of those things, they do not give you entrance to the narrow way. It is faith in Jesus Christ alone. And it's a way that is mocked. You'll be persecuted. And you may lose family members along the way because they won't enter the path with you. They won't follow after what you believe. Doesn't sound nice at times, but it is freedom. It is Christ. It is eternity. There's no holiday from it. There's no belonging of yourself because you belong to the King, because he keeps the road. He only allows those that are His on the road. And unfortunately, there are few companions. But the companions you do find are blessed. They will love you with a greater love than the world can ever know. My family of origin, I'm the only Christian. My siblings, my parents. And I can tell you that I have greater love for Christians than I have for any of them. I love my family. I love my sister, my brothers that are still alive. I care for them deeply. But the bond that I have with other believers is totally different than the bond I have with them. Why? Because it's eternal. It's an eternal bond. It will continue to go. And we go through similar things. The destination is marvelous because the destination isn't a place. It's a person. It's a person. It's a funny thing. When God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 15, and we have that familiar passage where Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Oftentimes we sort of miss what God says to Abraham at the very beginning of that chapter. God comes to Abraham and he says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. When the writer of Hebrews says that Abraham was looking for a city whose foundations were of God, whose builder and maker was God. Why? Because God said to Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. The promised land was not the reward that Abraham looked for. That property that's still there in Israel, that's not the promise that Abraham was looking forward to. He was looking forward to his exceeding great reward, the God of heaven. That's the path that he walked. Do you ever start a journey without knowing where you're going? Sometimes we might get in our car and then just go for a drive and you discover some new place. But you know that at some point, at any point, you can turn around and go back home. There's no risk involved. Why? Because we don't want to know. We don't want to go somewhere where we don't know the destination. Well, Jesus is very clear about the destination. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. It's important to understand something. And that's the verses that Jesus says a little later in the chapter, verses 21 through 23. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What is Jesus saying? He says there are a lot of people in the world that call themselves Christians. They look like Christians. They act like Christians. They sound like Christians. But they are not. He says, what's the difference? He says, well, the people are going to stand before him and say, Lord, we've done amazing things for you. We prophesied in your name. We were able to cast out devils in your name. We've done many wonderful works for you. In your name. And Jesus calls them workers of iniquity. And what's the reason? Because he says, I never knew you. I never knew you. There was never that connection of salvation between Savior and the saved. Between shepherd and sheep. It never existed. They were doing other things that looked like the narrow way. But it wasn't. It was the broad path to destruction. It was just sugar-coated to look like the narrow way. It was masqueraded by the God of this world, by Satan, to look like the narrow way. And it's not the narrow way. The narrow way is Christ alone. Nothing else. It's faith in Him. It's seeking forgiveness at His feet and no one else's. He is the only one that can forgive you. He is the only one that can remove your sin and give you His righteousness. I don't have that ability. I can't do it for you. I wish I could. Wouldn't it be fantastic? Wouldn't it be fantastic for my kids and for my brothers and for my sister and all the people I know for me to be able to go around and say, your sin's forgiven. I can't do that. There's only one who can do that, and that's Jesus Christ. That's the narrow way. And that means that all the other ways are completely false. Every other way. It doesn't matter what Hinduism says. It doesn't matter what Islam says, or Jehovah's Witnesses, or whomever the group you may want to say. If it is not Jesus Christ alone, then it is not the way. That's not my words. That's Christ's words. He said, I am the way, not one of the ways. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Are you on the way? Do you walk that path? There are two roads before you, and one is well traveled, and one is a narrow way with few on it. Which path will you take? Will you take the narrow way with the small entrance that is faith in Jesus Christ alone? We beg you to consider and to think upon these things and to consider Jesus Christ as your Savior today. We point you to Him. Amen.